Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. And today we've got something a little different. We have, Amy is sick today, so she won't be with us. But I have my good friend, Tom Essel.
Hello.
All the way from Springfield, Missouri. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Tom.
Well, like you said, my name's Tom Essel, and I live in Springfield, Missouri. I work with Robert on the Original Model Project, and I'm a blogger for Danthropology and a reporter of sorts here in Springfield, and I'm all over the place, man. I'm everywhere. And here. I'm filling in for Amy.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully she gets better because I have to live with her.
Yeah.
So let's move on. First thing we want to do is thank our new Twitter followers. So we have Michael Thinking, Jan Van Helmond, Tom Smith, a friend of mine at Secular Radio, Alvin the Chipmunk, Tommy Brown, EO, Joey Sperry, God's Hypocrisy, Lakeview CC Church Rock. That is an actual church, by the way. I don't know why they're following me, but whatever. And then Tu Shao. I think that's how that's spelled or said.
Or Tao Shao.
Tao Shao, I'm not real sure. But you can also follow us on Twitter at Secular Yakking. You get your Twitter handle said on air, which is always fun. And we also have a new patron, which will be James Devine. Thank you, James, for subscribing to us on Patreon. And if you want to help support the show, head on over to patreon.com/secularyakking. And we were also on a couple podcasts last week. Last week, we were on the Zacrilege cast on the 28th. We had a great time, got to talk about a lot of the cool things we do, including the Original Motto Project, which I do with Tom.
Yay.
Yeah. which is a lot of work, by the way.
Yes. Even more so when you have to email 100 members of the West Virginia House of Delegates and Google fights you the entire time.
Yes, very, very true. And then if you want to go check that out, it's at Zacrilege Law on YouTube, or you can find him on iTunes, and we are episode 45. And don't forget, we were also on Atheism 101. That also aired on the 28th. It was great fun to yak with our partners in the Secular Outreach Network. Go check them out at atheism101.com.
Yeah, I listened to the Atheism 101. That was a good one. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, those guys, Matt and Tim, are just great fun to talk to. Just had a wonderful time over there.
And they're funny, too.
Oh, they are.
But you guys, that's the one where you spanked them in the, what was it, the Bible?
Bible trivia?
Yeah, Bible trivia.
Yeah, that was that was just great fun to do that.
They seemed really surprised that somebody got a positive score, so I'm guessing that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often, no. Then, so let's move on with the show. We have a Potter awardee update. Some of you may recall our Potter Award winner, Governor Mike LePage of Maine, in episode 24. If not, that was one scary episode. At a town hall meeting earlier this month, LePage had complained that guys with the name D-Money, Smoothie, and Shifty were bringing drugs into Maine from Connecticut and New York. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute.
Sorry. I haven't listened to episode 24, so
that's okay.
All I know is that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, so Governor Mike LePage had some wonderful things to say about welfare recipients back in episode 24, which earned him the Potter Award.
He sounds like a guy that would have good things to say about them.
Yeah, but D-Money, Smoothie, Shifty, come on. Seriously, these aren't even reasonable names for drug lords or whatever.
I like Shifty. That's like an old school, like, throwback, like Chicago gangster.
Yeah, like kind of feels.
Yeah, he's like the guy that shows up because, you know, he was running rum across from Canada and, like, shoots you up with a Tommy gun.
It sounds like a Dick Tracy character.
He does. But Smoothie? What's up with
Smoothie,
that one?
I don't know. I don't know. That's weird.
And D-Money is such a fake name. No, oh, yeah. Nobody actually goes by D-Money. Come on now.
But he also said this, incidentally, half the time they impregnate young white girls before they leave, which is a real sad thing because then we have another issue we have to deal with down the road. So, young white girls.
Does he mean D-Money, Smoothie, and Shifty in particular are impregnating the white girls? Or
no, just people with names like D-Money, Smoothie, and Shifty.
I wonder what he means by that.
I wonder.
Wow. This is the governor of Maine?
Yes, governor of Maine.
Of all places. Yeah.
But later in an interview with WTOM, he said drug dealers whose drugs cause the death of someone should be put to death. Okay.
Okay.
That's not how life works.
That's no.
No. And he said, this is a direct quote, "What I think we ought to do is bring back the guillotine back. We could have public executions. We could even have which hole it falls in."
This is where the guillotine thing comes from. I've been seeing this all over the internet.
Yeah. This guy is absolutely insane. I don't even know where to start with him. But he's been elected governor. He's obviously got a great deal of racism going on, a great deal of stereotyping. And then he has to insert that they impregnate young white girls before they go back to New York or Connecticut. Because D-Money lives in Connecticut.
I was about to say, because D-Money lives in Connecticut. That's where Smoothie is from. That's a total Connecticut name.
Yes, Smoothie.
Well, isn't it like New Haven, Connecticut? It's like really dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been there.
Yeah, there's a town or a city in Connecticut that's like supposed to be super dangerous. I think I had a cousin that lived there. I'm serious. It was crazy because you don't think of Connecticut and like.
Yeah, but if in contrast to Maine, I imagine it's a pretty shifty town.
Oh, yeah. Are there towns in Maine?
Yeah, there's at least two. There's like Bangor and Portland.
And Augusta. Augusta's the capital, isn't it? So there's three.
There's three. Three towns in Maine. There you go.
What's the Johnny Depp movie? There's a Johnny Depp movie where he's the vampire.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? That takes place in Maine, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no, I don't remember that one.
I can't remember the name of it.
Anyway. I think we can move on.
Okay.
Creationism banned from science classes by Scottish government.
Go Scotland.
This is actually a good thing. The Scottish Secular Society filed a petition in 2014 with the Scottish Parliament to, quote, issue official guidance to bar the presentation in Scottish publicly funded schools of separate creation. Wow.
You want me to read it?
No, I got it.
Okay.
And you learned their doctrines as viable alternatives to the established science of evolution, common descent, and deep time. Well, that was a slog to get through.
That was. That's like legalese. Yeah.
It is legalese.
Now you have to go back, though, and say it with a Scottish accent.
Oh, not today. So this is actually really good news because they've taken the creation out of science classes in Scottish schools.
I didn't know they had creation in science classes in Scottish schools still.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of Europe actually still does. It's really weird that way.
It is weird.
Yeah. Well, the Scottish government has issued a statement based on this petition, and this is it. Education. Wow, that's really weird. I'll redo that. Scotland does not identify creationism as a scientific principle, and it does not form part of the learning and teaching of science in our schools, said Scottish government spokesman to the Herald Scotland. Teachers use their professional judgment, experience, and understanding of their pupils to respond to sensitivity to complex and challenging issues such as those posed by differing perspectives. So basically, if I read that right, they don't promote creationism in science class, and they allow teachers the freedom to talk about it in such a way that it doesn't interfere with science. Is that what you got?
Teachers use their professional judgment, experience, and understanding of their pupils to respond sensitively.
Or is this something like the laws here, which are teach the controversy?
Yeah, I'm getting a little
bit. Almost like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to get sensitivity to the complex and challenging issue, but that you're wrong and that it's not science. I don't understand the need to be sensitive to that, but maybe I'm just not a sensitive person.
Maybe. So it may be that they want to take those questions that the kids might have regarding creation and evolution and take them out of the science class, because I did read that they want to make sure that creation is in the religion class where it belongs.
Huh.
So that may be part of it.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about the school system there.
No, I don't either. Hopefully someone in Scotland's listening, and they do.
Yeah. Come on, Scottish listeners.
All like two of them.
All two of you sitting around eating haggis and whatever else they do in Scotland. I don't know.
Yeah. Playing bagpipes and
throwing
the caber.
Freeze to death in the mist out on the Scottish moors.
All righty. Let's talk about a KKK holiday.
Yay.
Georgia State Rep Tommy Benton has co-sponsored two bills to preserve the Confederate's legacy. So first, I wanted to look at H.R. 1179, which reads, the state of Georgia shall preserve the natural areas situated within the Stone Mountain Park area, shall provide access to Stone Mountain for Georgia citizens, and shall maintain an appropriate and suitable memorial for the Confederacy at and on Stone Mountain. In addition, the memorial to the heroes of the Confederate States of America graven upon the face of Stone Mountain shall never be altered, removed, concealed, or obscured in any fashion, and shall be preserved and protected for all time as a tribute to the bravery and heroism of the citizens of the state who suffered and died for their cause. Well, that's not horrible.
Yeah, it's not really that bad, I guess.
So, for reference, Stone Mountain is the largest relief sculpture in the world and is a Confederate memorial carving that depicts three Confederate leaders of the Civil War, President Jefferson Davis, Generals Robert E. Lee, and Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson. Now, I have been to Stone Mountain, Georgia. That thing is massive. It is literally a carving of these three guys in the side of like a 500 or 600 foot cliff.
So it's like the more blatantly racist Mount Rushmore?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I got that. I've never been to Stone Mountain, Georgia, so.
So what's going on is there are people who are wanting to have that Confederate memorial taken off because of the implied racism borne by the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I for one am against removing historical things like this. Something that's already up, leave it up, right? It is part of the history of the United States that we did have a Confederate war, or the Civil War, right?
Right.
So I'm not against removing it, but I think they need to redo the terms in which it's being shown.
Yeah. This is kind of up my alley since I studied history. So.
Right.
Yeah, referring to them as heroes might be a bit far. They were, you know, seditious rebels.
Right.
That were thwarting the democratic process and throwing a hissy fit, essentially. I always refer to the Civil War as the Great Confederate Hissy Fit.
Yeah, that sounds about what it is. But in the South, it's seen as something totally different.
Yeah, that's because they're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you currently live in the South. I lived in the South for many years. I know how they see the Civil War. I mean, I knew people that were still pissed off about losing.
Yeah. I was driving home from the grocery store, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and there was a truck in front of me that had a big Confederate flag sticker in the back, and their license plate was CSA Forever.
God, like, that's
that's dedication, man.
That is.
Like,
man.
Yeah, this whole we need to honor our Confederate heroes thing is, I mean, just really stupid. These people were not heroes.
No. And it gets a little worse because, as I said, he did two bills. And then we can look at HB, which is House Bill 855, which would amend the current holidays as recognized by the Georgia state to include January 19th for Robert E. Lee's birthday, April 26th for the Confederate Memorial Day.
Wow.
So, additionally, the following would be removed from the current statute. And it says exactly this. In such designations, the governor shall include at least one of the following dates, January 19th, April 26th, or June 3rd, or a suitable date in lieu thereof to commemorate the events and events now observed by such dates. I did some looking. January 19th is MLK Day.
Yes.
So they are looking to basically replace MLK Day with Robert E. Lee birthday. That seems a bit out of
sync with... seems super racist. Let's just call that what it is.
Yeah, like, okay, I think it is.
That's super racist. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. And April 26th and June 3rd are already Confederate Memorial Day in several states, including Georgia. They already have a Confederate Memorial Day, but it's not written into the statutes. It's always been declared by the governor.
Oh, so now they want it in a statute so that it's forever and ever.
Right.
Yeah, like, wow. I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is just blatant racism. You can't get any further away from that.
Well, definitely. First of all, I don't know why people celebrate Robert E. Lee. Like, Lee wasn't really as great as people think he was.
Well, no.
Like, as soon as, really, the great general was Jackson. Was a great general. Right. Super racist and completely crazy, by the way. Stonewall Jackson's, like, totally nuts.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the, he's the kind of person that would do a homeopathy today. But as soon as Jackson was killed, like, Lee kind of crumbled and fell apart.
Right.
I mean, what's Lee famous for? Losing the Battle of Gettysburg?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous that they want to bring back the Confederacy and memorialize what you called earlier, you know, a sedition. I mean, it was an act of rebellion against the United States.
Right, and against the democratic process, because what happened is the Southern Democrats lost the election because the Democratic Party was split. And so eventually they said, well, we're going to take our ball and go home. And
yeah. Well, it just seems odd because I very seriously doubt they have any memorials in Britain to the Americans.
Not that I can think of.
Right.
Not off the top of my head.
I mean, basically, the colonies were in sedition to the British Empire. Same concept, really.
Yeah.
Slightly different, but yeah.
Well, not entirely different, really. It's actually kind of a continuation of that mentality that led to the American Revolution.
Right.
There's very much a local kind of, well, it's kind of like what we run into with the sheriffs now with the original model project, where they say, well, you don't have to come here if you don't like it, that kind of thing. We can make our own rules. That's kind of the mentality that led to the Civil War.
Right.
And it starts off with the American Revolution and never really resolves itself. It's the same argument you get with the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists during the Constitutional Convention.
Right.
That's my boring history comment for today.
We need a little bit of that every once in a while. Mm-hmm.
Hey, listeners, this is Paul Sading, creator of Atheist Apocalypse and The Q Podcast, and you're listening to Secular Yakking. As fellow Washingtonians, you know Robert and Amy are good peeps by default and can be trusted with your heathen baby's soul, even if Amy has an aversion to beer. If you'd like to listen to another sacred cow tipper and an actual person who enjoys the blessing that is Pacific Northwest microbrews, come on over to The Q Podcast at theqpodcast.com. Only use the letter Q, please. If you love truly outlandish news and ever wondered what it would be like if atheists ran the world, check out Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com.
Let's move on to Phoenix.
All right.
Phoenix council members try to block Satanist. Four members of the Phoenix City Council moved late Friday to block a Satanist group from delivering the traditional prayer before city council meetings next month. Members of the Satanic Temple of Tucson are scheduled to deliver the invocation February 17th. City Manager Ed Zucher said in a statement Friday night that at the council member's request, he would add an agenda item for the next Wednesday's meeting that would change the way the city schedules groups and lead the prayer. The current system allows groups to call the city clerk's office and schedule a date. The new system would mimic the state's legislature does. The mayor and eight council members would select prayer leaders on a rotating basis. The four council members, Jim Mooring, Sal DiTico, Bill Gates, and Michael Nowakowski, that's it, wanted the rule adopted with an emergency clause, allowing it to take effect within 24 hours, essentially disinviting the Satanist.
Yeah, they actually had an emergency council meeting about it. I don't know if you caught that. There was actually called an emergency meeting of city council to deal with the scary, scary Satanists who just want to express their religious views.
Right. So we run into this all the time, and I, as an invocator, have actually run into this personally, where it not quite to this degree, though, not to the point where they're willing to change the rules mid-stride just to make sure that the other side can't present their prayers or their invocation.
Yeah. Well, the temple runs into it all the time.
Right. Well, they're a little more out there than I am.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm actually a member of the Satanic Temple, and you'd be amazed the reaction it gets from people.
Yeah. I mean, I try to keep up with this. I know some the temple out here, and we are working on some stuff out here with them. So here's a quote from one of the council members. people are trying to get attention with this. They're trying to make a splash. They're trying to get us to get rid of the invocation, Waring said early on Friday. He wanted to take the Satanists to court, even in the face of almost certain defeat.
Yeah. Well, there is a grain of truth to that. Now, I don't speak for the Satanic Temple. Let me make that very, very clear. But my understanding is that in general, the temple does not want the invocations, and they'll request that they go away. And then right. when they don't, because inevitably they say no, the temple then will step in and kind of do this. It's like, okay, well then if you're not going to get rid of the invocations, then we want to do one also.
Right.
And of course, that's what starts the storm. Can I say that?
I can bleep that too. So it's not a big deal.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's fine. I've had to bleep Amy a couple times, so it's all right.
But that's essentially what happens. Like I said, I don't speak for the Satanic Temple, but that's, from my understanding, generally what happens.
Right. And, you know, I think that's a lot of what's going on when atheists, humanists, and secularists do the invocations. They're actually trying to show the city councils what they've stepped into by allowing invocations in general. And if they don't want to hear the other side, then they need to stop the invocations, period. Because that's really what we want, right?
It depends on your point of view. I'm not actually against the invocations, because I think there's kind of an important history behind them. It's kind of a traditional thing to do, and it gets right. People in the community kind of involved in local government. So I'm not against having the invocations before city council meetings, so long as it's an open forum for everybody who wants to be involved and express their views in a respectful way that lends gravity to, you know, the government meeting.
Right.
Because
that would be the key, is a respectful way.
Right. Because there are some people claiming the name of Satanism who simply want to make a mockery of it, who have right. been shot down with justifiably.
Yeah.
But as far as the invocations themselves, I'm actually for them. That's my personal view, not the view of the temple or anything like that, but that's my personal view on it.
Cool. Glad to hear that.
Yes. That's my spiel. So,
that's your spiel.
That's my spiel, man.
Very, very cool. All right, let's move on.
I am an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
This week we return to our home state and to a county we are very, well, a little familiar with anyway, and that's Clark County, Washington. Earlier this week, Clark County Councilor David Madore issued a couple of poems on intelligent design and evolution. His first poem talks about the intricacy of design and fine-tuning in order to say that there must be a designer, ends with this trite nonsense. The reason design is thrown out with defiance is based on the philosophy, not on the science.
Sorry.
It's okay. I was laughing too.
Good.
Yeah, because if we follow the truth where it leads, design is the verdict. Truth science agrees. The logical conclusion, if we will admit, intelligent design is the only good fit. Some men will continue refusing to see. They'll fight with a vengeance and never agree.
One fish.
Thank you. Thank you, Counselor Zeus.
Counselor Zeus would say, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Yeah. So not only is this an affront to poetry, this is an affront to science.
That is so ridiculous.
I know.
That's bad. That's bad.
So you think that's bad? He wrote a second poem.
Oh, good.
And this one, he takes part two and attributes it to a specific deity. And it goes like this. He didn't just make us and then go away. He's good and he shows us his love every day. He's patient and kind and quick to forgive. He gave us his word to show how we should live. There are only two things that he asks us to do, simply love him back and love people too. Yeah. Some more susical for you.
No, you missed the last two lines. Open the Bible to the Gospel of John, and you'll find he is able to help you catch on.
Oh, there you go. There it is.
Could you in a boat?
I would not. Could not. In a boat.
What about with a goat?
Certainly not with a goat in a boat.
He just released these, and he's just a city councilman.
He's a city councilman, and he put these out on his Facebook and on his personal webpage.
Oh, so this isn't like an official, like, city thing. He just happens to be a city councilman.
He, well, last, I'm not sure of his exact position right now, but last year he was the main city council guy. I forgot the name. They rotate that out.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's an interesting gentleman, and this isn't our first interaction with him. In February 2015, he was part of a committee that approved In God We Trust in Clark County, which normally is not really big enough to make this list, but it's the way that he did it. On the first go-around, he voted against bringing up the motion, which everybody was happy about, because we thought we had won. It's his reasoning for turning it down that bothers me, though. It wasn't because he thought it was a bad idea. It's because the resolution wasn't clear enough. He wanted more detail on where and how the motto should be displayed. He went so far as to tell his fellow counselors that he wanted it displayed on the wall behind the dais, as well as what typeface he envisioned should be. And he said, "I want it to be most readable. It's not a piece of art. It's a reminder." So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, if anybody would know what isn't art, it's definitely this guy.
Based on his poetry, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was there for most of this issue because, like I said, we're pretty familiar with mm-hmm. Clark County. I've done an invocation down there. I was there for the In God We Trust issue. And this guy, he seems very inept at his job. He's not quite a career politician, but he wants to be. So he's one of those.
Nice.
Yeah. But what made him the Potter awardee is the stance on social media and government officials. Many of you know that this is a subject of considerable interest to me. What is the issue here is Clark County wants him to move his public statements regarding council business to an official page that is properly labeled as government official so that they would fall under Washington State rules for communication with public officials. They are asking him to allow their software to screenshot his page each time it changes to keep track of what is going on with the official page, which pertains to government business without regulation, though, to protect the county from litigation. So basically, they want to make sure they have a public record of everything the public officials do in their public capacity on social media.
That's a good thing.
That sounds like a good idea. However, he doesn't agree.
Shocker.
Yeah. And for clarity, Mador regularly talks about council business on his, quote, newspaper page. So if you look up David Mador on Facebook, you will see that he has a couple pages. One is his personal page. One is a business page. And the other is this page he calls newspaper, which he is really strange because he doesn't conduct official business on it, but he discusses official business on it, which is technically not right. And he's using the newspaper to get out of calling it an official page.
That's interesting. We're actually having a similar issue in Springfield, but I'll comment on that when you're done.
Right. Sadly, Mador doesn't understand legal constructs and how rules work. If you are a public policymaker and you're routinely talked about public policy as a said public official, then you are subject to the guidelines as laid out by Washington Public Records Act, which states, public record includes any writing containing information relating to the conduct of government or the performance of any government or proprietary function prepared, used, owned, or retained by the state or local agency, regardless of physical form or characteristics, which means social media, because electronic communication with constituents is covered under the public records.
Yeah.
So all the county is asking for is Mador to move all the content pertaining to his duties as counselor to an official government page, which would actually leave him open to say anything he wants on his other pages without the legal repercussions that come from having a government official restricting the ability of the citizens to address public officials, because he regularly deletes and bans people, including reporters. But you can't do much against him because it's his newspaper page, which is interesting.
We're having the issue that's going on in Springfield. I don't know if you wanted to finish that.
No, we can. That's a talking show. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what's going on in Springfield? And I don't know the rules in Clark County, obviously, but in Springfield, we're having kind of a similar issue with social media because council members will comment about official business on their pages, which, I mean, is whatever. Like you said, it's kind of like the Mador guy where you'll argue with people or post official business. But in Springfield, what's going on is, on occasion, the council members, because they're all friends with each other on Facebook, will comment to each other, which essentially creates a quorum.
Yeah.
And so it becomes automatically becomes public record.
Right. Well, that's interesting. That's not quite going on here.
Yeah. And then, but there's an incident right now where a certain council member may or may not have deleted something that was supposed to be public record.
Oh, wow. Well, we've run into that before.
A few times.
Yeah. So, yeah, what's interesting is he sees this as an infringement of his rights, and it's actually a protection of his rights as a private citizen by restricting him to the rules must be followed by public officials, as described in Garcetti v. Sabellos, Supreme Court decision. Restricting speech that owes its existence to a public employee's professional responsibilities does not infringe on any liberties the employee might have enjoyed as a private citizen. So what they never get, public officials so rarely get, is that when they become public officials, some of their rights cease to exist.
Right.
When they act as public officials, they become agents of the government and must follow the rules set forth for the government.
Right. Well, he could, like I said, I don't know the rules in Clark County, but it's one thing to post about what's going on in the city, but if you're posting things that you are privy to because you're a city council member, that's a problem.
Right.
Because then you're not, then that's not, oh, well, that's any private citizen would be able to get that information. I guess it would depend on what information he's posting, but.
Right.
I mean, if he's just saying, you know, we voted on such and such bill last night and I'm glad it passed, anybody can get that information. But if he's talking about things that are going on in closed meetings or talking about other city council members and things like that, that's a problem.
Right. Well, his biggest beef is that he sees this as government overreach into his personal free speech rights. When what they're asking for is for him to conduct official business, you know, as, acting as a counselor through an official counselor page.
They're not even telling him he can't post about it on social media. They're just saying
right.
They're just saying they want a record of it.
Right. In case someone comes up in the future and says, "Hey, I put in a FOIA request. I would like the evidence of these posts that were made." And if he's deleted them, they can't do anything about it. And if the person has, say, their own screenshots, they could technically sue the county.
Right. Yeah. So they're not really infringing on anything. He can still post whatever he wants. There just has to be a screenshot of it.
Right. And they had a meeting, and I listened to the meeting, and they were very, very explicit to say, we will not be regulating what you say. We just want a record of it.
Yeah. I don't see the problem with that.
Right. And it's stuff like this that makes him a Potter Award winner, because he's still trying to be the king of his own castle. He really is.
Well, anything that doesn't agree with you is government reach. That's how right. That works, right?
Right. Especially with someone like him.
Yeah. That's the problem we have here with Councilwoman Fulnecki.
Right. Which I have been following some.
Yeah. She's the Facebook culprit.
Right.
So
she may end up on my list one day.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't sometime soon.
It probably will be. And I think that's all we're going to have for you this week.
Thanks for having me on as a fill-in. I hope I was entertaining for everybody.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
For everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
No problem. It was great
having you on. And I'll keep you in mind next time Amy decides to get sick.
Yeah, Amy, get better. It's late here for me.
Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. Sun is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the Sun and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.